Welcome back, Questers, to part two of our conversation with Mr. Mike Harper as we revisit the events in Milwaukee the summer of 1967. Riots, civil unrest. This brother lived through those crazy times, and he, along with others, paved the way and became a voice for our people. Big ups to everyone who stood strong and unmoving for our sakes. You don't have to be a star, baby. We can all have a voice and utilize a platform. Take advantage of every opportunity to speak out, to walk right, and stand strong, firmly, for what's right. Summer of 1967. So we will be continuing that conversation. Hey, as Rakim, he has a famous line, and he goes, "It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at." And that's very true. This is the Quest, and we got you locked in.
Then I seen her, mind keeps traveling. I be back after I stop and think about the brothers and sisters in Africa. Return the thought through the eye of a needle. For miles I fought and I just brought the people. Under the dark skies, on the dark side. Not only there, but right here's an apartheid. So now is the time for us to react. Take a trip through the mind and when you get back, understand your third eye seen all of that. It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Even though
nobody's smiling.
All that reality shows or Wives, or I don't even watch that crap. No. You know, because we sitting up there talking about each other. I don't even. And they have them on like they really stars. Yeah. You know, they ain't Denzel Washington and some of these people. I'm like, they ain't acting.
They ain't showing no talent at all.
Right.
No.
Hey, we can get.
They just being accurate. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
You can get that at a family reunion if they ain't the right one. There ain't nobody getting paid. But I'm like, the people tune into that like that state. And then the people that's doing it, I don't know. I mean, it just, I don't watch it. I just, you know, shit. Yeah, I like watching the Animal Channel because, it seemed like, and I was just thinking about our dog. I said, man, we got a dog. He said, you know something? And I said, I realized, too, you know, most animals, they content. You know, they ain't going to raise a lot. You feed them, and they don't talk back to you.
You got to tell them about the bear. And
when we was in Colorado, and I was out there, me and my son went out there to see our nephew. So we sitting around that morning watching one of them shows, and they was talking about the grizzly bears in Colorado.
Okay.
How it's so much garbage around. The garbage then took the fight out of the grizzly bear. So they showed the grizzly bear over the dumpster, you know, going through McDonald's wrappers and stuff. Now, first they showed the, you know, you always see a grizzly bear with a big old salmon in his.
Right.
He the toughest and meanest animal on 4 feet in the ground.
Right.
And we're sitting there, I said, that reminds us of black people. You know, we just linger around. They give us a little kibbles and bits, little SS money. And they done took the fight out the grizzly bear. You know, I said, they done took the fight out of the most
vicious animal.
They would tear that truck up. Oh, and he leaning over the thing like going. And they were just saying how. The bears is not
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's bad.
Yeah. And I'm like, and then I'm like, that reminds me of our people.
Yeah.
You know, because you forget who you are.
Right.
Yeah. You go for the little bit. You know, all this strength and you can, and power you got, they let it whittle us down to like we. Mm. And that we, you know, these little kibbles and bits they give us. They take the drive out of it. Take the opportunity when we, you ever been to Jamaica?
No.
You go to Jamaica. Ain't no unemployment in Jamaica. And when you get off the ship, we was on the cruise, everybody working. But all the kids speak proper English. And, you know, it's some terrible looking, you know, situation. But you go in the market, man, and Elaine's uncle's our brother's birthday, and he wanted a cane. And I said, hey, I want to get my uncle a cane. And he had a big old tree trunk. He said, come back, I'll have it. I come back, man, that man took a hatchet, made a cane, got his name carved in it.
Wow.
And, you know, two guys said, ain't no unemployment here. Ain't no welfare here. So everybody's about taking care of it. And they braiding hair, they doing, and you know, I mean, they, you know, and I'm like, but that's they drive. You know, education is important and all this stuff. Man, I was like, yeah, because what happened to our creativity? What happened to, we used to cut grass. We used to do roofing. We used to do landscaping. We used to do this kind of stuff. And then we want to rib on the Mexican cleaning up. I go on the south side, man, I look on Pueblo Drive or whatever it is over there. They still got bakeries over there on the south side. I mean, I like, you know, we don't even fry our own chicken. We got JJ's, you know, frying chicken.
Putting that lemon pepper stuff on.
I stopped. Elaine tell you, I said, man, what is that? That Cuba dust, I call it. No, man, I ain't doing that. Oh, you know, we don't. Yeah. Black women, man, mama used to be in there with them curling irons. I'm in the girl, woo! Yeah. Getting them kids in, doing each other's hair, doing nails.
I remember that. I remember what they call it at this restaurant I go to up here, Zeb's. They broiled chicken. It's nothing but what grandma and them used to do with. They used to put the chicken in there, and they had this skillet thing. Well, it was a pot, but they put the top on it and then lock it.
Oh, pressure cooking.
That pressure cooking. Mm-hmm. And when that pressure cooking come out, when that chicken come out, it was golden brown and it was ready to eat. But now they calling it something totally different. You know what I'm saying? But I'm used to that. Mm-hmm. That's what my grandma must have them used to do on both sides. But you know what I'm saying?
They don't even do their own nails.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's economics. That's compete. We still giving our money to everybody else. And I think this year, the economic power of black people is $1.7 trillion. You know, that's more money than most countries have. That's our spending power. And it's all going
to everybody else.
Right.
And not our community.
Right. If you know, we all put a dollar down, dollar a week, just like them Jews had us buying them little, that was our layaway plan.
Dollar down, dollar.
Well, like, you know, layaway works.
Right,
know.
It does.
But if we all would contribute that, man, we'd have enough money to do what we need to do and invest. But then again, it boils down to, am I going to give it, man, I ain't getting my money over there. You know, it's the same way with the church and, you know, I can get my money to that preacher, you know, and I go to Christ the King and I see the mission. We help people in Africa and different places. Oh, and whatever you do and whatever you're involved in, it takes money.
You know, sports plays a big part in, you know, in our lives in the country. So, Ali Frazier won. You know, that was supposed to have been like, you know, you had Ali, then you, the Uncle Tom, Frazier. How did that affect you, that fight? That was a big fight.
Yeah, well, you know, we was rooting for Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
And back then, we didn't have pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
So we had to listen to it on radio, which was actually... Well, we listened to baseball on radio, and you know, hearing how now it would come on Wide World of Sports 2 or 3 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
But man, we'd be around low radio, and we'd be cheering for Muhammad Ali. We wanted him to whoop Frazier and all the rest of them, you know. And I liked, but them was some of the greatest fights probably ever.
Right.
You know, him and Ali, and you know, I mean, they were rivals.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't too many of us rooting for Joe.
Okay.
You know? Not in my group anymore.
Not your group, huh?
No, we was, hey, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Rumble, baby, rumble. You know, but Ali had started setting the standards where, you know, Jim Brown was part of that. Kareem, my dude, well, he was, what's the name, Nim. And, and I saw this thing on OJ, the summer OJ.
Okay.
And they had invited him, and they asked OJ about, are you black? He said, no, I'm OJ.
Mm.
So he didn't go with Jim Brown and all them, because they were talking about the issues.
Right.
You know, so he, you know, stayed who he was, but all them brothers used to get together and talk about the issue.
Okay.
And Ali is one of the brothers, especially in the fight game, came out to be his own promoter. Because all them other guys, Joe Louis died broke. All them guys died broke, you know, because them promoters and all that was taking all their money. So Ali said, hey, you know, so that was one reason they started not liking Ali. And then that's when they went after him with all that other stuff, because they couldn't beat Ali out of his money and stuff, because he said he didn't want to fight, you know. There's some cups downstairs behind the bar. But you know, and then we had John Carlos in the 68 Olympics.
Yeah.
Man, we was like, I mean, we were into that, man.
That made big waves.
Yeah.
When they raise their hand, they fist up their black gloves.
Right.
Right.
Because George Foreman, he didn't want to do it. He was running around with that little flag being, you know, that's a knock over his grill. But George ended up being all right. But, you know, yeah, he was. But, yeah, that, and then they took the medals from them. And but that's when this came out.
Right.
Man, we was up, I mean, 68, you know, that was the big riot at the Democratic convention down in Chicago, I think it was. Man, they tore that place up. So it was the anti-Vietnam War.
Okay.
It was a lot going on, man. It was a lot going on. I mean, we weren't, everybody was kind of unified. You know, I mean, even the little, we used to call them slangers. You know, that's what we call the thugs then with the little process.
Right.
Man, they even joined our picket line. You know, because we was all about a movement. You know, so we wasn't, everything that we did was about getting together, reading poetry, dashikis, afros, my sister, you know, art. You know, I mean, Thursday, man, it was, you go to the club, everybody in town, what's up, my brother? And, you know, then Marvin Gaye came out with it. Yeah.
What's good?
It wasn't a whole, yeah, everybody was in tune to what's happening. Then Juneteenth came, and we used to have some of the biggest Juneteenths. You know, it ran from North Avenue all the way up to Burleigh. I don't know where it ended up now.
Center Street.
Yeah, but
Center
it
Street.
Was a unifying movement where everybody was on the same page, you know.
Okay.
And then I always say when Superfly came out and people took off their dashikis and put on their Superfly clothes, that did it. Dun dun dun.
Right.
Dun 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 dun. And then that's when, you know, the Coke spoons and the high heel shoes. And
right.
So people took off their dashikis and got their afros permed, and then we went to the fly game, and you know, that's when the influx of drugs and pimping and all that stuff. You know, that always been around, you know, but it kind of. And then we got middle class, you know, then we wanted to move to the suburbs and moving on up, you know, so.
Well, there's some big time pimps here in Milwaukee back in the day that you seen?
So called.
Yeah.
Yeah, all them dead.
Or gangsters.
It wasn't, you know, it was some people claiming.
Uh-huh.
It was more High Street Brothers that wasn't claiming that I was more concerned about, because Running Bear and all them.
Running Bear.
Yeah, his name was Running Bear. He had one of them Cadillacs with a bear on it, and, you know, them big old Cadillac, you know, him and Lil Slim and all of them died young.
Okay.
You know, well, they was older than we was. What's the name of them? Used to run Walnut Street. Used to run them T's and Blues and all that. The Fergusons.
Yeah.
Remember, they had grocery stores and all that.
But
Pee Wee, they killed him somewhere. And after they killed him, the whole family went down the tubes. But outside of that, except for these new guys, is, you know, been on the scene. But these old guys had stores, you know, pool halls and stuff like that. And then, you know, they might have been doing some. Yeah. So they was kind of trying to have that legit thing and, you know, after hours and stuff. But you go, shit, I was a teenager going to them after hours, you know, going there and, you know, they mostly gambling most of the time, you know. And there wasn't no drama that you had to worry about somebody kicking the dough in and, you know. But I mean, you could go to the clubs, man. It was music. It was, hey, you could shoot. We take the bus, man. You know, we'd be all in. Everybody else, and you know, go. You know, a lot of times, hey, man, we was partying on the South Side. After I went to Tech, I was 20, old Bob Pulaski's 27th Street. I was known at Big Boys and stuff. Yeah. You know, wasn't a whole lot of things like that. You know?
1969 and the future of two teams hinged on a coin flip.
The coin has come up pale.
And so in their second year of existence, the expansion Milwaukee Bucks acquired the draft rights to Lew Alcindor, likening him to Chamberlain. Experts predicted that he would transform the young Bucks into instant contenders. He did not disappoint. Averaging 29 points a game, he would lead Milwaukee to a 56-win season. The following year, legendary guard Oscar Robertson would join the team in a trade that would send expectations soaring.
I joined the Bucks. I knew we were going to win the championship that year. As soon as I got there, destiny, confidence. I just knew we were going to win.
The 71 Bucks champions.
Yeah. Yeah, we cheered.
Well, how did that invigorate the city?
Oh, that was downtown jumping up and down.
Hey, that was my year, too. I was born in 71.
Oscar Robertson and Lew.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the Bucks won a championship.
We used to go to the Bucks game, man. We used to go to the Bucks game like we went to the Braves game, man. We supported all that. But the Bucks, at that time, wasn't a whole lot of places for them to go. I mean, Kareem stayed down in Juneau Village off down on East Juneau.
Yeah.
And you go down to, it was Terrans. It's, what's Terrans now? It's Savoy's.
Savoy's. It's Terrans.
It was Terrans. You go down there and see Bobby Dandridge, all of them sitting up in there because that's where all the teachers and stuff hung out.
Okay.
So, you know, you go in there, they be, you go to a basement party, there they are down.
Okay.
Yeah, because right. Even when they tried to go to some of the white clubs downtown, if you wasn't Kareem or something, they didn't let all them guys in there.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Kareem was big business down here, man.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a Laker fan, because of the fact that even though he left the Bucks to go over there, you know, it was a good transition for him.
You go to the Riverside to a concert, you be like, you know who he is. He's the tallest person in Milwaukee. Right. Seemed like he be standing, you know. But in the Big O and Bobby Dandridge, and you might see them anywhere, man. But Hank Aaron.
Right.
You know, because they was connected to the community. It wasn't a whole lot of, I mean, they could go, but they didn't go.
Going, going, gone. A home run for Del Crandall, and the astounding Braves have just about clinched their first World Series. The Yanks were favored, but clutch hitting and stout-hearted pitching turned the tide. Lou Burdett's name goes on the record books, 3 series victories. Bases loaded in the ninth. But Scour and Smash is backhanded by Matthews. He steps on third and it's all over but the tumult and the shouting. The new world's champions of baseball, the Miracle Men from Milwaukee.
Those Braves teams, you know, the one series.
Yeah.
I know he was getting a lot of death threats when he was getting close to breaking Babe Ruth's record.
Yeah.
And you a Hank Aaron fan?
Yeah. Hey, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, that's all we knew coming up. You know, I mean, and we were cheering on because Babe Ruth, that drunk, you know, they made so much out of him.
Right.
You know, and just look at Hank Aaron. Mm-hmm. He didn't lift weights and all that. But what Hank Aaron showed you, he had an eye and all it is in knowing when they put that bat on the ball.
Right.
You know, that's... You know, that's how we learn how to, you know, play baseball. You know, you ain't got to be, you know, Babe used to get up there with his cigar in his mouth. And I'm like, man, when I look at them old movies, I'm like, then they made it hard for a brother, you know, to get in there. You know, because they know once we got in, we going to take over that little fat man game. He running around the bank. You know why he could hit them home runs? They wasn't throwing 100 miles an hour back then.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, to me, it was a gimme to them. But, you know, when a brother, you know, that's that they always worry, when we get in, the record going to be broke.
Okay. We had something to prove.
You know, now, just think about basketball. In the 60s, I didn't even watch basketball. You know, we always played softball and football.
Okay.
Because when you watch, and I didn't start playing basketball until we started playing that game, Hustle.
Right, okay.
And because when you watch basketball on TV, it was these old white boys with these shorts up to here,
yeah.
And they be passing. The game be 10 to 12 at the end.
Right.
You know, and Bobby Dandridge did a thing a few years ago. When Bobby Dandridge played for the Bucks, he was making $15,000 a year. Mm. Big Oyu would send his car to pick him up because he'd be on the bus. Mm. Even when he won that championship. Before then, a lot of them brothers that played on them teams wasn't even allowed to shoot the ball. It was a documentary on it.
Yeah, wow.
They only could rebound. They weren't supposed to shoot. And that was in the 60s. When I saw that documentary, but you can, because I kind of remember, because then when Bill Russell and them came out and Wilt came around, then it was a little more to it. But a lot of them guys that could have been great, they held them back. They held them back, man. I watched that. And Bobby Dandridge the one put it together, you know.
And I remember the night I started working at the Bradley Center, and they retired Bobby Dandridge's jersey. And that was, I was working in the tunnel that night, and I was right there by the locker room as him and Kareem came out. And Kareem was the inductee.
Okay.
So it was like he was presenting his jersey that night, and I was able to shake both of them hands. And to me, it was memorable because, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To shake Oscar Robertson's hand or to shake Bobby Dandridge's hand, to other people, it would just be like, oh my God, it's. To me, it was like, man, this is a part of history, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I didn't know about Bobby Dandridge like that until I spoke with Unc now. And the stuff that they told me, man, that was real, man.
But they was our heroes, man, because we didn't have, you know, I wasn't jumping them down about Joe Adcock and all them guys, we came along a time where black folks was like Hillary breaking that ceiling. And making waves, man. So, the Bucks, you know, they've been slumping. But in the early Bucks, they held a whole lot of records. You know, they held one of the longest winning streaking records in a while. You know, we had some teams and especially because we was in the West before. When we won the championship, we was in the West.
It's Western Conference. Okay.
Yeah, and then we beat Washington Bullets
in
the East. Then they put us in the East, but... Even though we lost a lot of games, but we had some, great teams. But coming up, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and just to see black people playing, we was behind them if they were just shooting marbles. We like Bobo Brazil when he was wrestling.
Oh, okay. I remember him.
Yeah, because he headbutt him.
Wrestling?
Beat the cruiser and the crusher and all that. He was the only black wrestler we know.
Bobo
Brazil. He him. Arthur Ashe. I ain't thinking about tennis till I saw a brother can play tennis.
Jesse Owens.
That was them old films you would watch. But then we grew up with, people that, going to high school, so we used to go to track meets. And we'd cheer North and Lincoln around, man, especially, now we done lost the pole vault, the stuff like that. But when it came down to that 100, 200, 440 relay, we be up in the stands, drinking wine, go! We be like, we had a football game, man. I don't care if it was at North Stadium, South Stadium, the relays. We go to the, we be supporting, and we used to love them, bro, come smoking them. We ain't getting up on no javelin and shot put and stuff like that, man. It was just a time to see us
shine, actually.
Yeah.
It was a good shine.
Right, because up until then, I was in grade school, and they show a movie about Africa, and there'd be a whole bunch of black-necked people on there, and they was like, it's degrading.
Right.
Well, Tarzan was our hero, mm-hmm. Yeah, Tarzan, our hero, white man. You know, oh, oh.
And then a monkey done raised them, you know. And he could whoop a whole tribe of black folks. Well, we knew that, especially when we saw
Shaka Zulu. It was a different game then. Whole different game.
And that's how it was truly was.
So you didn't want to see Shaka.
No, that was the truth.
Right.
That was the truth.
You know.
I got something I want to ask you. It's like, you know, when we was in high school in our history, you know, they talk about Christopher Columbus and saying the fact that he was the one to discover America. And watching my man Tariq Nasheed, he was saying, like, back in the days that it was somebody before Christopher Columbus that really discovered America, which was a Moor. And at the time, that was a, you know, black people, they were going to different lands and countries and islands to do barter trades with different countries. And they were saying that a Moor was on that boat at the time that Christopher Columbus had called himself discovering America. And I was just wanting to know your views on Christopher Columbus.
Well, one thing, how you discover something when somebody already there?
And I said the same exact
thing. Now, I was in, years back, I was in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. And I was at a conference, and actually, one of the days was October 10th, Columbus Day. Them people hate Christopher Columbus. Because, you know, that was one of their stops before they came up here.
Exactly.
Him and his crew went down and infected all them people with syphilis.
Wow.
So what the natives did, because I was on the, you know, the little truck they were showing around, it's a certain fruit that's poisonous. And they let his crew eat it and killed half of their crew off.
Wow.
Because what they did to the natives. They hate Christopher Columbus. They don't even celebrate him. The guy was saying they came down and raped them people, took advantage of them, gave them syphilis, killed off half of them, and so they knew that this fruit was poison, and they gave it to his crew. You know, the people in Virgin Islands, they don't celebrate him. They was pirates.
They were.
They were. They made. I never understood even in grade school. I thought the Indians was here first.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. You know?
The way I always think it is, he discovered it for the English.
Yeah.
He discovered it for Britain.
Right.
So, everything that they teach us, they teaching us Britain, English, you know, studies.
Right.
That's how I look at it. Whether it's historical, math, science, it's all what the culture of Britain wanted to know.
Yeah.
And it just got passed on down to us. Yeah. Down to us.
Right. Because I know as a people, we are a lot, we are smart just as well as they are. You know, we are very intelligent and a lot of stuff, even with some of the presidents that had slaves, they just took over what the slaves had created. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't have a marketing scheme or they didn't know how to produce certain things. Right.
Most things the slave did make them.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know exactly. And you know why? Out of necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like, man, well, if we're going to do this, let's find a better way of doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The cotton gin. Man, we don't need, we create it. Hey, we ain't got to wash by hand. Let's create a washing machine. You know what I mean? But then they take it over.
I tell my kids to do something. I don't care how you get it done.
Right.
As long as you do it.
Yeah.
Right. If you find a good way to do it, okay. White person come through. Yeah, look what I showed them how to do.
Right. No, well, they
right.
take it over. We ain't got no patent on it.
Right.
And then next thing, you know, they taking claim to it.
Yeah,
so how much money you need to make every, you know, I mean, I think everybody needs to make a decent wage, but,
you know, America,
you know, y'all went over there and messed with them people. Them people over in the Middle East, they've been fighting since Abraham.
You know, when he messed up and had a baby by the slave woman when the guy told him to wait, you know, so Isaac and Ishmael been fighting ever since. So that's, you know, then y'all go over there and do the same thing, put one group against the other, trying to get that oil out of there and cause all these. And then you can't bomb out to me the heart of people. Didn't try it. Because unless you wipe them all off, people going to see people die, little kids. So when they grow up, they remember who did it to them. And that's how it is. You know, that's something. Now, you might wipe out everything else. If you leave one of them, they're going to remember. I mean, we tried. I didn't know we had 500,000 troops in Vietnam in 68. 500,000. And Nixon, I was looking at them, you know, on CNN, I'll be watching them. I said, damn, we had five, and we couldn't whoop their ass and had to withdraw because the heart of the people, they didn't care. You know, they gonna fight to the land. You know, that's like, you know, growing up in, I went to her birthday party last night, baby doll turned 70. And it was 17 of them in their house. And you run one of their brothers and sisters home, and we sit on the porch like, wee. They chase one of them on the porch, that door open. I mean, all of them come out. Even the baby in the diaper be whooping people's ass. All them. Yeah, man, we be saying, woo. Man, they didn't know it was 17 of them up in there. And all of them about a year apart, too, so they.
They come running back out of there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Man, all them can nuck. Yeah, boy. Going over to a foreign country, man, you don't know the back ways, alleyways. Because even in the States, see, we used to, you know, throw stuff at the police, and we had gangways.
Yeah.
And then we knew where the yard dogs were.
Right.
So they didn't want to run up in them gangways. Ooh. Man, we hit them gangways, hop a fence. They be like, they didn't want to go up in there because we knew where every mean dog was. I be thinking about it. I don't see gangways. Man, we knew how to cut over Mr. Johnson yard. Police, they would. Old junkyard dog be barking, man. So it's the same way there, man. I don't know them neighborhood. You know, it's. You know, but, you know, I don't know. America is. And then with technology and these emails.
Did they ever try to draft you in the military?
But, yeah, I was. Because that was the first time they came out with the lottery. I'm down in MATC. We down there, Ungawa Black Power. I dropped classes down hanging out in the union down there, you know, Daishiki down.
And,
we having, you know, protests, and it was so funny. So the lottery came out. So the next day they said, damn, Mike, your birthday February 6th over there. They said, man, your number 16. I'm like, what? And I got something, I was 1A.
What?
So, man. And I had messed around with Carlos. You know, he's still car, so I was in the car with him, and police called us, man. I knew the car was stolen, but we were trying to drop some girls off. So I messed around, and we got caught, and so I had to go downtown. They put me on probation for 2 years. But I wasn't thinking, but I'm still 1A.
Right.
Man, I couldn't get a job. Now I'm trying to get a... Oh, you finna go. Man, I got that induction letter. I had to go downtown, man, to take the physical and stuff. So the night before, I'm down by SEALs. You know, I'm like, man, I said, I gotta get my blood pressure up or something. So shit, we drinking Ripple. I'm drinking Ripple.
Ripple?
Yeah. Hagen Pete. Taking salt tablets, man.
Salt tablets.
I'm gonna get my blood pressure up. Then Big Steve, you know, Big Steve. Yeah, he was 4F. Cause they said something was wrong with his kidney. So I said, Steve, pee in this bottle because I know they're gonna take a pee test. So I go down that morning. I got a hangover, like, so I'm like, okay. So I had to go take the pee test. I pulled Steve pee in there. Found out, I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with this. I said, this don't seem good. Blood pressure wasn't up. I went in. So they put you in this booth to test your hearing. You know, they test your hearing. Be 3 or 4 of us in there. So I'm sitting in there and they turn it up some. They turn it up. I act like I couldn't hear. Then the guy opened the door. Harper, I'm turned around. I'm like, yeah, we got it. Right. I said, here I go. Vietnam, here I come.
Oh my God.
The only thing saved me is when at the end, I had to go in front of this like social worker or something, and then they asked you personal stuff, and I was on probation. Oh, we ain't accepting you. I'm like, woo!
Right.
I see the Lord is working.
Right.
I left MATC and took my butt to Whitewater. Was hanging down in MATC, man, almost got me caught up because I had dropped too many credits, you know. Right. I knew I was gone.
Because I thought that was a big thing in that era. Yeah. In that era, because I remember, I, like I said, I was sitting there watching Ali, and they tried to draft him. And, right. He wasn't going, you know what I'm saying? And
they stripped him up.
They gave him a lot of wrath about that. But the one thing that I did like about it was his comments leaving the courthouse, because dude was on him so hard, and he was being polite, and he was like, he was like, everything that I said, I meant. And like he said, he was like, I didn't have a problem with the Vietnam, Vietcong, Japan, Chinese.
Right. Right.
They ain't never called me nigga. That was his big thing. They ain't never called me nigga.
Yeah,
but
said,
I'm in America, and you want me to fight for a country that's sitting here calling me nigga every day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You want me to fight for you, but you won't protect me here in America.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the biggest scene in the movie. And that's why I asked you about that driving
that's
thing problem, because
that's still
it is because he was being
right.
Right.
And, hey, and that they were still sticking dogs and stuff on us, and you know, in Alabama and stuff. So
right.
They wanted you know Elvis Presley went to the military. He made a movie, my teddy bear, when he was in, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He ain't do nothing. Bush didn't do nothing. You know, they go in and get them easy jobs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they going to put him, they were just trying to mess with Ali.
Yeah, they
going to
put him on the front line.
Yeah.
Take his gun and go stand there.
Because he was a fighter and couldn't nobody fight
they
him.
They was tired, you know,
because
he talked to him too much. And you know, they wouldn't have took them 3 years away from him.
Oh, yeah, I was about to ask you about that. What the biggest legacy that been?
Oh, it been.
They had to fight during
the... Yeah, because when he died, they had some about that. You know, even when he came back, I mean, that's just like any one of us, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like if you ain't doing it on a regular basis, you know, it's like, it's one thing to work out, but if you ain't football working out, or basketball working out.
Right.
Now you might be working out, but it ain't the same intensity and stuff, and you know, so it.
Well, with boxing, it's more extreme than basketball.
Oh yeah,
football.
I mean, yeah, you got to be.
Got a killer instinct.
Right,
time.
Right, and physically be able to. So he, I think, when he came back, that's when he ended up starting taking a little more punishment.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know you lose a little step. But they said Ali was smart enough to come up with the rope-a-dope and different things, but he took a lot of punishment in doing that. He, you know, he always figured his opponent out, but you know, before, man, he was just sticking him. Boy, I remember a lot of guys got their butt whooped trying to be like Muhammad Ali. They ran across some real Joe Frazier knockout arms.
He said some real Joe Frazier knockout artist,
man. Man, we was laughing the other day. I said, Bruce Lee got a lot of brothers butt whooped, too. Yeah.
You been looking at a lot of Bruce Lee?
It was so funny. I mean, we down at the downstairs club, and you know, Paul Tucker and your dad and them just got out of Vietnam Marine. And we down there, them niggas, young guy, hey, they done jumped down. Hey, you know, like me and Paul Tucker just, bam! Can't even win one of the Marine moves. I said, Bruce
Lee.
Yeah, I said, they, you know, they didn't watch them movies.
What about that other day? You used to go to the matinee, remember the Oasis down on 27th?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We used to watch some karate movies.
Yeah.
And grand. It was cinema one and cinema two.
You come out, everybody do a karate.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody know how to do karate.
Man, I was at St. Charles, and I would take them. They want to go see that, man. And I said, I know this going to be a hell of a night once we get here. I'd be in the van. Get back to St. Charles, man. I was, you know, they gone, but man, they be hyped up on that.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, I said, now if you jump, I tell them, I said, I don't know karate, but I know Kareza. Jane Brown told me that one.
You are locked into the Quest, listening to our conversation we had with Mike Harper, Summer of 67. Summer 1967. Hey, during that year, the top soul R&B hits for that year, top 10. We start out number one, Sam and Dave with Soul Band. Gladys Knight and the Pips with Heard It Through the Grapevine. At number three, you had Aretha Franklin with Respect. Number four, Aaron Neville, Tell It Like It Is. Nice smooth little joint there. Number five, you had Betty Swan with Make Me Yours. Aretha Franklin hits back again at six. I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. And how about at seven, Freddie Scott, Are You Ready For Me? Eight, Stevie Wonder, I Was Made to Love Her. At nine, James Brown and the Famous Flames with Cold Sweat. And then at 10, Aretha again. She was getting again that year with Baby I Love. Baby I Love You. Aretha Franklin. Those were the songs that were cracking during the year of 1967 in the R&B and soul charts. I'm Will Washington. You are locked into the Quest. We're going to hit you with a few snippets. We hope you enjoyed the interview. You know, little cubes of knowledge we got from Mr. Mike Harper. So we're going to come with that. Enjoy. You're still locked in.
This world done changed.
I would like to thank Mr. Mike Harper for sharing his knowledge and wisdom. Shout out to DJ Dre Dilla for making that happen. It was awesome. Class was definitely in session, and I was so eager to listen and to learn. Thank God for having an ear to hear. I'd like to thank all of our supporters, the Washingtons, Lewis's, Gladney's, you know, I love you, Shonda and Desi, Clinton Twins, Brother Moss, the Round Table. Okay. I'd like to thank my Garter family and Coach. What's up, sweetie? How you doing, you and your family? Shout out to Victoria Davis, Marvin, Lisa, D-Rock. Shout out to Bully, Lucy Lou, Chico Manolo, Nashlot, and Damo. I'd like to thank Eyes, our friend on the West Coast. Much love, sweetie. If there's anyone I have missed, please charge it to my head and not to my heart. What's up, Malika Kane? Shout out to Christ the King. Let's stand tall, y'all. And if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used at least one to say thank you? That's by William Arthur Ward. Live so that when your children think about fairness, caring, and integrity, they'll think of you. As H. Jackson Brown Jr. Let's implement all these things. Let's be loving. Let's be protective. Let's be spiritual and warm. If this country is going to be reborn and to be great again, and I mean truly united, it's going to take all of us making that individual choice to bring that energy to the masses. We all matter out here. We all matter. So thank you, and God bless you. Master your lane, and keep your circle tight. And as always, someone come around on that nonsense, trying to invade your camp with that ignorance and foolishness, look that snake right in his eye and say,